Amen. Praise the Lord this morning. It's good to see all of you out to the house of prayer on this morning. We gather ourselves together again. If you would, let's turn together to Esther chapter 9. Esther chapter 9. We're going to look at verses 18 through 32. Esther chapter 9, verses 18 through 32. Amen. As we try to put the closing touches on this series this morning, if the Lord allows us. Esther chapter 9, beginning at verse 18. Says, but the Jews who were at Shushan assembled together on the 13th day, as well as on the 14th and on the 15th of the month. They rested and made it a day of feasting and gladness. Therefore, the Jews of the villages who dwelt in the unwalled town celebrated the 14th day of the month of Adar with gladness and feasting as a holiday, in for sending presents to one another. And Mordecai wrote these things and sent letters to all Jews, near and far, who were in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, to establish among them that they should celebrate yearly the 14th and 15th days of the month of Adar, and the days on which the Jews had rest from their enemies, as the month which was turned from sorrow to joy for them, and from mourning to a holiday, that they should make them days of feasting and joy, of sending presents to one another and gifts to the poor. So the Jews accepted the custom which they had begun, as Mordecai had written to them, because Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the enemy of all the Jews, had plotted against the Jews to annihilate them, and had cast pur, that is, the lot, to consume them and destroy them. But when Esther came before the king, he commanded by letter that this wicked plot, which Haman had devised against the Jews, should return on his own head, and that he and his sons should be hanged on the gallows. So they called these days Purim, after the name Pur. Therefore, because of all the words of this letter, what they had seen concerning this matter, and what had happened to them, the Jews established and imposed it upon themselves and their descendants, and all who would join them, that without fail they should celebrate these 2 days every year, according to the written instructions and according to the prescribed time, that these days should be remembered and kept around every generation, every family, every province, every city, that these days of Purim should not fail to be observed among the Jews, and that the memory of them should not perish among their descendants. Then Queen Esther, the daughter of Abihail, and with Mordecai, the Jew, wrote with full authority to conform the second letter about Purim. And Mordecai sent letters to all the Jews, to the 127 provinces of the kingdom of Ahasuerus, with words of peace and truth, to confirm these days of Purim at their appointed time, as Mordecai the Jew and Queen Esther had prescribed from them, and as they had decreed for themselves and descendants concerning the matters of their fasting and lamenting. So the decree of Esther confirmed these matters of Purim, and it was written in the book.
Amen.
Amen. I want to talk about a celebration and a time to remember. A celebration and a time to remember. Amen. As we saw what God had done last week when we talked to you. Saw all that the Lord had done and all the works that he had performed and how he was at work behind the scenes. Amen. And allowed all the turnaround. Amen. When Haman and all of his devices and his conspiracy was meant to stamp out and destroy and annihilate all of the Jewish citizens of Ahasuerus' kingdom, mainly the kingdom that was in control of the world, God turned that thing around. Because the Bible teaches us that the heart of the king is in God's hands. And God is able to change those who are even in leadership. So that's how great our God is. Amen. And he's a God that's worthy to be praised and adored. Amen. So today we come in the early verses of chapter 9. We found out now last week before we closed that they had permission now to defend themselves. And in those early verses, that's what they did. They defended themselves. Amen. If when you read those early verses, it said, amen, they defended themselves. And in defending themselves, amen, 75,000 of those that had in mind to annihilate all the Jewish citizens, 75,000 of them died. Because God prevented, it said, a fear fell over all the people because they saw what God was doing through the people. And everybody feared the Jews. Kind of remind me of that same kind of fear that they had, you remember when they asked Rahab, and the spies were hiding out with Rahab, and Rahab said, "We heard about y'all. We've been scared all this time. Amen. And y'all gonna come attack us. Because we know we heard about what God was doing among you." And here they were. The other children of Israel, right, one didn't make it to the promised land. They scared to go to the promised land, and everybody in the promised land scared of them. Because they saw what God was able to do and how he had destroyed the Egyptians and some of their enemies. So the same thing has happened, my brothers and sisters, in this situation here. Ahasuerus, and all, not only Ahasuerus, because Ahasuerus had said that all the other leaders were on the side of the Jewish people. So you had all the those in power, with political power, all the others in the provinces, everybody was fighting along with the Jewish people. And they defended themselves, and 75,000 of their enemies had failed them. And now they're in charge. And you know, you remember it said, when Mordecai sent out the new decree, he said, once you kill them, you can take their stuff. But when you read those third chapters, you find out the only ones that were dead were those that actually tried to attack the Jewish people. And they defended themselves. And they never took this stuff. So we don't want this stuff. We just want to be able to defend ourselves and live our own life. Amen. So they had mercy even in that situation. So now it's over. Amen. They have survived. And they want to celebrate. And they put out a holiday, a celebration day called the Feast of Purim. Now let me tell you some things that happened so you can kind of have an understanding of what the Feast of Purim was. One thing, they would read the same story of Esther that we read. They would read that story also in every time the name, as they read, you know, they would say Mordecai and they would say Haman as they're reading the story. And every time Mordecai's name was mentioned, they would cheer. Yeah, yeah. You know, like at the game, your team. They were cheering. When you read it, Mordecai and all the kids, Mordecai, everybody cheering. And every time Haman, name read, when they find, they make a lot of noise where you can't even hear. And they stomp where you couldn't hear Haman's name. That was part of the celebration that the kids did. Now, you know, kids doing that, or the children doing that, every time they had that celebration, they were stomping and cheering. You can imagine how they grew up knowing about the Feast of Purim, knowing about Mordecai being the hero, and knowing about Haman being the villain, and how God had switched things around, because they heard that story over and over, and they would listen attentively so they would know whether to cheer or to make noise and drown it out. So you know how well they had that story down after hearing it year after year as they grew up. Sometimes we have to pass the stories of what God has done for us. We have to pass those stories down so our children can know how great our God is. And it's, especially I like this story, because this story has God working behind the scenes.
Right.
And sometimes, most of the time, that's the way God works, is behind the scenes. We don't see too many seeds opening up, or some stopping. We don't see a lot of the great big miracles that were taking place in the Old Testament time. But when we look at our lives carefully, especially with the Spirit in us and the eyes that we can now see what God is doing, we can see that God was working all the time, many times in our lives. So they was, that's one way. Not only would they do that, but they would give to the poor. During the Feast of Purim, they would send food and things to the poor that didn't have any. And they would do something. It was sort of like Christmas and Thanksgiving and maybe even at other holidays when we dressed up in costumes. It was like that all together. Because they gave gifts to each other. Sort of like we do at Christmas.
Okay.
And they gave to the poor and the needy. They had a feast and they would dress up in costumes.
Okay.
All these things happened at the Feast of Purim, as they would try to remember what God had done, as Haman was trying to annihilate and get rid of all the Jewish people. But God had overcame, because he had the last word. But you know how holidays is. Somebody going to take it too far. So not only did it, but there was a little drink. And they said, the way you had to drink enough so that cursed is Haman and blessed is Mordecai sound the same. Now, you done did a little drink. Well, you cursed is Mordecai. I mean, blessed is Mordecai and cursed is Haman. And they sound the same. Oh, you have to take it. But that was, you know how we take celebrations. That was part of it often when they had the Feast of Purim. And Purim, remember, comes from the pur, which was a lot like a dice, because you remember Haman, when he was trying to decide when to destroy the Jews, he took the little dice thing and it fell on the 13th day of Adar, which is like March. So we can say like the 13th day of March. Now, this was like 11 months, almost a year before. So, you know, God was even in that. Because probably if he'd have done it like real quick, February, fell in February. But they had so much time. God had a whole lot of time to work. Now, he could have worked out in the day. But he had a whole lot of time to work behind the scenes. So when that day came along, he had turned everything around.
Yeah.
So that's what we get their Purim, because it comes from that pur. Amen. And they even know that that wasn't by happenstance.
Right.
That the pur or the lot fell on that day.
God was in that.
Yeah.
God was even in that. That he spared their life. So every March 13th through the 15th, they would have this feast and enjoy this feast. So their history was passed down to their children of what God had done on their behalf and how God had turned things
around. Yeah.
Now. And I wanted you to read over 10. I don't want, even though 10 went for it. 10 is an important part. Go over chapter 10. Ain't but three verses, I think, in 10. Mm-hmm. Now, y'all know how upset Haman was with Mordecai. And how Haman just couldn't stand Mordecai. He did everything he could to get rid of him, not only him, but his people. I want you to read chapter 10. We're going to read it. Just to read for you. Y'all can follow with me. I want you to read chapter 10 because you're going to have enemies. And you're going to have folk in your life that's going to treat you like Haman treated Mordecai. But you got to know if God is on your side,
right.
What the end going to look like.
Yeah, all right.
So I need you, that's why I want you to go with number 10. Verse 1. And King Ahasuerus imposed tribute on the land and on the island and on the islands of the sea. Now all the acts of his power and his might and the account of the greatness of who?
Mordecai.
To which the king advanced him, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the king of Media and Persia? For Mordecai, the Jew, was second to King Ahasuerus. And was great among the Jews and well received by the multitude of his brothers.
My Lord.
Seeking the good of his people and speaking peace to all his countrymen.
Yeah.
Sometimes, so don't worry about folk. Because
right.
Folk can't keep you from getting where God wants to put you.
Right.
That place that God had designed for you, they can do, I don't care who it is, in the corporate arena.
Right.
They can't keep you from getting where God wants you to go.
That's real.
Because sometimes, unfortunately, even at church, there's some folk, even at church, is not going to treat you like you deserve to be treated. But I'm trying to tell you, don't you worry about
right,
that.
Because
right. God will still exalt you.
Amen.
And a lot of times, if you look back at your life, somebody just had it out for you and did everything they could to keep you down, better be careful. I wonder if you might be in charge of that person.
That's real.
Oh, I wish I had a wisdom.
That's real.
So that's where God, one day they may have to answer to you.
Yeah.
Or you may have a spot.
Yeah.
And they had a plan for it, y'all. I done seen it happen. Happen.
That's real.
So I just want to tell you what happened. Now, I had to kind of switch this sermon up. Because we don't have a lot of children here. So I had to kind of, I don't want to talk a little bit to the children. But I had a whole lot of expression. So I had to cut, 95% of that. So that's why I was in office so long. I had to kind of switch it up. Listen. All right, we don't have a couple, two, three, four. Okay. Children. Now I'm going to deal for them. Just like the Jews in the book of Esther, there were times in the history of African Americans that we also had people that were against us. It's not as bad as it is now. It's not as bad today as it was then. So we also have something to celebrate.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
See, I'm man, they won't break off, man. Come on over, I'll show you. So we can go through the history together, man. And, man, it was you back in the day, man. Back a little bit before I was born, some of these other ones were born a little bit old. It say like, all right, see, man. Bring me those two chairs, Ernest, and help me out right there. Bring me two chairs right here. And sit them out in front of that table. One, or right there, you stay right there. Bring that old channel this way, channel like that, yeah. All right, man. Come on down, let me show you. Sometimes stuff you had to kind of deal with back in the day. All right, Daniel. Get that chair right there, take it off and turn it that way. Yeah, I got three. All right, that's why I need this like that. You get in that chair. All right, man. You getting on the bus. I know you don't know my bus because you ain't been in the city. But in the city, you have to ride the bus. You got a bus driver. Y'all can ride the school bus. Y'all don't have to pay no money, though. But back in the day, we had, when you get on the city bus, you had to pay money when you get on. So, what we do when you pay the man money, get my bus first. They have a little thing. You drop your money in. And then you go on, back to your seat. That's where it happened. Then you drive the bus, and then we had a little strain, we went off. And then the bus stopped. Okay. Now, back, and like your grandma's time. It wasn't that easy. That wasn't when we didn't get the money, then we just walk back to our seat, whatever. You know, I can walk back and see what I want to. But when your grandma riding the bus, she couldn't do that. I don't know what she did, but a lot of people, her color, knowing her, I ain't accepting what she did. But a lot of people her color, what they would do, they would get in one. Now, if you were white, you could just walk on back to your seat. But now, if you were black, you could not walk through there. You had to get right off the bus. Mm-hmm. Right. Go to the back door of the bus. Uh-huh. And then come back on. Uh-huh. Now, if that driver was mad at you, you may not make it. Sometimes, if the driver be mad at you, and you get back off, he trying to be funny, you walk into the back of the door, you already paid your money, take off. You can't ride because you don't put your... That might have been on the bus ride you had.
Yep.
Oh, that's one thing you did. You say you can put your money on the bus. All right. Put your money. Back to you. Your brother, your money. All right. Now, get up. Get up and go around the back up. All right. Now, sit right there. All right. Yeah, come here. Yeah, I got light skin. So, Gabby, sit right there. Gabby's a white person. In this situation. So, so she kind of light skin. All right. Now, so this was a book. I need somebody else kind of like. I'm trying to get light people I can. All right. So here it is. You have it right there. Now, she's a white person. So Linda, come on, pay your money, Susan. So Linda, pay her money. So, Mrs. Susan, you go back, get on the bus. Hold it right there. Oh, she's white. So now, white person down on the bus. What does that mean, man? Now, if it's another seat back, you go back front. You can't come up. If it's in front, you can't go. You can't come up. All right. So you have to get up. Okay. Even if it was a man, you would still have to get up because you were black. Understand what I'm saying? So that's the way it was when your grandma was young. You know, back when they had 12. All right.
So that's the way it was. Now, but that's not all. All right, now, everybody up. Stay where you are. Just get up. And turn your cheek this way. All right, you can sit back over there. Okay. And you can go in the seat, man. And make some time. Now we're in a restaurant. We're in a restaurant, and Macy, you want a hamburger. I'm the restaurant man. We all kind of like you, African American. You come in, you want a hamburger. So what you come up like one hamburger? I want to eat a burger. We don't serve black people here, ma'am. And this is a white restaurant.
Yeah.
You got to go find your own people. We don't serve black people at this restaurant.
All right.
When you real hungry, how would you feel? You feel sad. All right. You probably feel a little mad. But that's the way it was. That's the way it was. You could eat at any restaurant. There were some restaurants that said for white only. So you want to know how to eat. Now you can go anywhere, right? You gotta be careful what you eat. All right, so you can be seated. All right. All right, y'all. Thank y'all for this day. So with a whole lot of stuff like that that you couldn't do or that were wrong if you were in the line, had your groceries, or had you say you had your stuff you wanted to buy, your parents sent you, you got you some bologna and cheese. And you was in the line with your bologna and cheese. And you finna pay for your bologna and you waited. So you done waited about 5-6 people ahead of you. And you had your bologna and cheese in your hand. And you coming on up. Come on, Gabby. Here come white person in front of you. See, you done waited in line, but they just skipped you. Right here, this is the account. They can just skip you. See, they can just skip you. They can get their stuff, and you have to let them in line.
Yeah.
And you still don't try to get your belongings. All right. So, it was a whole lot of things that went on wrong like that. Something, even today, there's still some things. It's not legal, but even today, some things go on like that. So, you have to understand it. And sometimes people don't. Even though people by the law have to treat you a certain way, but that's because they treat you a certain way on the outside, don't mean they want to do it in their heart.
Right, right, right. That's good.
Well, what happened? And what we will, because remember I talked about, when I'm talking about remembering and celebrating things. Tomorrow is that day.
Yes, sir.
Right. Yes.
Tomorrow is not just a day. Don't have to go to school. Because the Mother King birthday, I don't have to go to school. I can have fun. But I want y'all to think about more than that tomorrow.
Right, right.
Because it was Dr. King, just like it was Mordecai and Esther in the book we read. It was Dr. King and Rosa Parks and so many more heroes stood up for you. Because they didn't want you to have to get up on the bus. They didn't want you to have to walk out and go through the other door. They wanted you to be able to eat at the McDonald's.
Amen.
Eat at wherever you want to eat. Back then, you couldn't even go to a certain restroom. Except if you had to use the restroom, you had to use the restroom bag. And they didn't have enough. Sometimes the restroom was white only. So, what you going to have to do? You don't have to use the restroom. But Dr. King knew that was wrong. He knew how that made you feel inside. He knew how much that hurt people of African-American descent. So he worked hard to get that law changed. Now, they had a march called the Selma to the Montgomery March. I think about 54 miles. They were going to march because they were protesting how African-Americans were treated. They started this march, I think, on let me make sure I get it right. March 7th. Started this march on March 7th, 1965. across the Edmund Pettus Bridge, they're going to Montgomery, Alabama. They're marching. About 600 of them marching. Well, when they got across that bridge, headed from Montgomery, they were met by some people that didn't want them to get their rights.
Yeah.
And they were beat up, and a couple of them got killed. Because they were trying to fight for their rights. So the 600 kind of, they broke up the demonstration and they kind of went and had to go back and start up again. Some were beat up, bloody. So they had got beat up with bags and sticks and tear gas and all kinds of things. They were trying to protest to get their rights and to make the world a better place for you. See, people had to sacrifice. That's why you got to do this. Because people had to give up their life. They had to, like Christ, pay for our sins and made it better for us to go to heaven, where they're also in our secular situation. So people had to go through stuff so we can have it better.
Right.
So we go, now you go to McDonald's, Burger King, Jim Chicken. Can't nobody tell you this is only for wives, because people pay the price.
Amen.
You can go to, you got your school you can go to. You can have your white school, black school, now you can go to school you want to go to mostly. So that's what they were marching for. So the first time they marched on the 7th, they got kind of beat up and bloody. A couple of them died or more, maybe even more than that. So they went back and had to regroup. That's when Dr. King got involved. Dr. King got involved, and 2 days later, 2 days later, they made that same march. And they marched up to the bridge, and they stopped. They didn't go across the bridge. They marched up to the bridge and stopped. They had to go across the bridge in order to go all the way to where they was going. But they didn't go across the bridge. They marched up to the bridge and stopped. Now, those of you that were here last week, you remember what Esther did when she was at the first banquet? Esther didn't go through with it.
Right.
Esther was going to see it, but she stopped.
Yeah.
All the time went on.
Yeah.
Well, on the 9th, remember the first march was on March 7th, second march on March 9th. They marched up to the bridge, but they stopped. Because the time wasn't right.
Yeah.
They went and petitioned for protection. And finally, the federal government agreed, and the federal government agreed to protect them. And they started out again on March 21st. They started out. Make sure I get this number right. Remember the first time they had just 600 people?
Right.
600 people, but then they got that little old battle and had to go back. Now this time, by this time, 21 days later, it's not 600 people. Now they got 3,200 people. 3,002. If they had let them go further, they wouldn't have 600 people. But when they stopped them, it grew from 600 to 3,200.
Right.
And in 3,200, they got to march. And they kept marching and moving. But you know, as they moved along, more and more people joined. So by time they actually got to Montgomery. Remember the first time they just had 600 people?
Yeah.
And folks had stopped. And then they got back and started out.
Yeah.
And now they got 2,500. And they're marching and marching. And then they finally got where they were going. You know how many people they had? 32,000 people. They stopped them with 600.
Yeah.
They probably said they shouldn't have went on and let that 600 go.
Because now they got
32,000 people in the march. And because they had so many people and they had protection, because God, they had prayed and God had blessed them to have government protection, government troops protecting them. And these 32,000 people went. And when the president saw it a few days later, because of everything that had happened, because you know, blacks were having a hard time voting. Searching where they couldn't vote. Couldn't vote for who was going to be president of the law. They couldn't vote for nothing. So they had this voting right. When the president saw how big the crowd was, and this is what the crowd said, he signed a voting rights law that said they had a right to vote.
Right.
In a way that they can make a difference. Now they can choose president. Now when you get 18, you can vote. But when you're 18, sign up to vote.
Amen.
Amen. And know who you vote for. But you got that because people were willing to sacrifice. So tomorrow, in the leader of that was Martin Luther King. So tomorrow, don't just think about, man, the reason why I got a lot of the privileges and a lot of things I can do today that we couldn't do because we had leaders like Dr. King and all of others who sometimes their names not mentioned, but they were on the lines too. They were sacrificing. It was people's mamas and grandmothers and grandfathers and fathers and aunties and uncles, because they wanted you to be able to do and have the same rights as everybody else. So that's something to celebrate and remember.
Amen.
Remember that tomorrow. Wow. Reason why I go to McDonald's, reason why I can go to any restroom I want to go to, reason why I go to stores I want to go to, reason why I can stand in line, people don't have to stick me, or I can sit in the front of the bus, all because people cared. There were some people that went before me, my grandmothers, mothers, grandfathers, and fathers, who were willing to pay the price so that I can have a better life.
Amen.
So that's something to celebrate. Because I can see, just like I saw God at work in Esther, I saw God in work in that 7 of Montgomery. Because it looked like they were defeated. When the 600, they said, if we can just frighten, if we can just stop this 600, they thought they could stop it. If we can just keep this 600 from going. But if I had God, I said, okay, I know them 600 were going to make it. They wouldn't choose me. I know that was going to happen. But now, I'm going to bring Dr. King in. He walking now. Then they're going to walk up to the bridge, and the folk going to be waiting to stop it again. But he's not going to even go over the bridge.
Right, right.
Because I'm still working on something.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he kept working on it. God was still working behind the scenes until they had the 2,500 people. And then as they walk, people are joined in.
Yeah.
God was doing something. So when they get to where they're going, they got 32,000 people. You know, 32,000 people changed the person in charge, the presidents, and those leaders that were in charge, changed their mind to the point that they were willing to sign a voting rights bill so people can vote about God.
Amen.
Without any problem that they were having. So that's what I'm saying. That's how good God, we need to begin to see how God is so good to us. Because when you change the voting, you get the right people up there. You vote the right people in, then those people begin to make changes in the way your country, in the way your city, in the way your state is. So keep that in mind. That's what all I want to share. I want to act out a lot more stuff, like I said, but y'all got the point. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Aren't y'all glad it's different? Aren't y'all glad that you had people like your grandma who walked with the apostles? And they were willing to sacrifice and go through what they went through and suffer so you could have a better life. Now, you may be called on one day too. God may call on you to even make things better. Sometimes we're going to make things better. You got to sacrifice yourself. That's what Christ did. Christ wanted you to go to heaven. So Jesus died for your sin. Said, hey, if you put your trust in me, I'll give you eternal life. I'll give you better life. I'll give you the life I created you to have. And if you're here today, as we close out, I want to give you all that privilege if you don't know Christ. He made the greatest sacrifice ever made. God himself coming down from heaven for you, giving life on your behalf. What a wonderful God.
Amen.
What a wonderful God. And he was at work. When I look at Black History Study, and I can always see, man, when I look back at hindsight, y'all know hindsight is 2020. I go, oh yeah, I can see he was working in there.
Yeah, yeah.
He was working in there. That's why we where we are today, because he was working. So he deserved a praise, and he deserved a worship. Amen. And thank God, he was working back then. We didn't have too much. But God was working on our behalf, even when we had very little. Right. Now that we've been blessed with a little bit more, seems like we done forgot.
My Lord.
We done forgot the God that bought us. Got to be careful because he might take you back.
That's real.
You got to be careful because he might take you back because you done forgot him. You think you're on your own now. You done got a little, you know. Like Dak said, you got to better yourself.
You don't want that.
Amen. Musician going to give us a song. Amen. I know there's a different kind of sermon, but I think y'all got the point.
Amen.
I'm scared of them using that. And yeah. I just want them to let them know that tomorrow, on the, hey, when we celebrate, commemorate Dr. King Day, why that day is there? Not just the day off of school. When the time was to remember people that made sacrifice so that we go forward.
Amen.
Just like Christ made the sacrifice so we can have eternal life. happens even today. Even today, some of those people who were brought up when things were really, really bad, brought up with ideals that black people are criminals.
Yeah, come on now, come on now.
And they do bad things. So a lot of times, even though you might be a good, honest person, like you said, good, honest person. Please, I know you're more honest than your mama's teeth. All right, let's see. What we want to do is, I'm going to tell you now, whenever you encounter a police officer, sometimes they may already think that you are a criminal. So you got to be careful. You can't put your hands in your pocket. But they think you're going for a gun, knife, stone. You might get shot. Or you might get hurt. Hey, don't put your hand. Even if you're driving, when you're ready to drive, keep your hand where they can see them all the time. Just say yes, whatever. Yes, ma'am. Be respectful to the people. Because you got to prove that you're not a criminal. When they see you in the car, they already see your color, they already think you're a criminal. Because they miss a lot of men talking. Not all of them. So you don't want to take no chance. Don't reach for them. Can't reach for a cell phone. You can't reach for nothing. You got to keep your hand inside at all times. You don't want you to be hurt. You don't want to be hurt. Not me. Keep your hand inside at all times. Be polite. Go along with them. Even if they do something wrong, then your mom and dad, they go to corporate and they don't. But you just cooperate now. Because you better stay in your main job now. You stay alive. You get the corporate. We can handle all that other stuff before. Alright? So we got to remember, all young people, when you have an encounter with police officers, they think you're a criminal. They think you're a bad person a lot of times. Just because of the color of your skin. So you got to think about being polite. Never give them a reason. Thank you. Going, don't run. Don't give them a reason because if you've done anything wrong, keep your hands this time and cooperate. All right, because that's the worst way of you.
That's real.
We're trying to stay alive. All right, thank you, Tristan.
Last week, how you blessed us tremendously.